Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Very excited to introduce our next guest. I've been working with him since 2007 on the NFL Today. You know him as the great Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. You also know that on January 11th, 2020, on our set on the NFL Today, David Baker, the head of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, came to our show and told Bill Cowher in surprising fashion that he was going to the Hall of Fame, the centennial class of 2020, and what a experience that was for all of us to watch one of our favorite people get told that he was going into the Hall of Fame. And with that, I welcome Bill Cowher to our show today. Bill, how are you, my man?
I'm doing great, Boom. How are you doing? Where are you at? Where are you doing the show from?
Yeah, well, we're doing it from home. We're doing it from Long Island. So that's one of the reasons why sometimes we have these connection snafus. So hopefully I won't drop out on you. Where are you? You in Westchester these days?
No, I'm in the city right now, and I know that just watching the reports this morning, I saw where Long Island is now a hot spot. I think all the people from the city that came out there may have something to do with it. So please stay safe, my friend.
Well, we're all trying to do that around here for sure. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on was to talk a little bit of football. I want to distract some people out there, sports fans. They're all lusting for something. And, you know, the NFL draft is coming up and a couple of things have happened. Let's start with the first main thing that happened this offseason. And that was Tom Brady signing a free agent contract to go play with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bruce Arians. Now, you know Bruce Arians very well. He worked for you in Pittsburgh. How do you think that the Bruce Arians-Tom Brady relationship is going to match up?
Well, I think it's going to match up well. I think when you look at Bruce's offense, and he's such a veteran coach, has been in this league in so many different systems. And when you look at Tom Brady, when you look at all the possibilities, and everybody was talking about the L.A. Chargers, and he's now got this new company that maybe L.A.'s Shaq did when he went out there, or Kobe did when he went out there to try to create LeBron. A brand in another phase. But I think when you look at the best team, and you look at the weapons that he has around him now down in Tampa, this is something that Tom has not had. And I think when you look at it, him leaving and, Bill making that transition, it's, he knows that right now they're in a transitional period, and he's not in a transitional period of his career. So I think it was an amicable break, to be quite honest with you. And I think Bill's looking forward to the challenge of recreating that team without Tom Brady. And I think for Tom, in the latter part of his career, he's got a lot of really good weapons around him right now with an offensive-minded head coach. So I think it's a good fit for both.
You know, it's kind of like an offensive-minded head coach for sure with Bruce Arians, but it's like a hold it and then throw it type of coach as opposed to...
I know.
And you know it better than anybody because, Josh McDaniels was the guy, get the ball out of your hands quickly, a lot of short intermediate passes, and Tom can throw the ball deep enough. His arm's more than strong enough. But in this situation, you are going from an offense that Tom Brady has known for 20 years, and now he's going to a completely different offense. How hard will it be for Tom to learn that offense, and do you expect that Bruce Arians will allow Tom to bring some of his offense with him down to Tampa?
And I think, just talking about, we're in an unprecedented days, Boom. I think there's a lot of talks going on right now in these buildings as they prepare for the draft, as they prepare for the offseason, and as they start talking about the season. This is unconventional right now. No one's ever been through this before. And so to bring a new player in, to have him learn your system, and I know Tom's been around, it's just a matter of terminology, and I think he'll pick it up. But I think when you look at the greater scheme of things for a lot of these new coaches, I would just say you have to honestly consider keeping the terminology from a year ago. You just don't know what your terms of practice are going to be and what the terms are in regards to how much time you have to develop a team to put a system in before all of a sudden you have to start playing games. And so I would just go back and just say from a coaching standpoint, and not to get away from Tom, we could talk about Tom and Bruce, but from a coaching standpoint, I look at, you know, Ron Rivera going to Washington. I would take that situation and say, you know, maybe it's better for us as new coaches to learn the terminology that they had here a year ago. It's a lot easier for 50 players or 8 coaches to learn a system as opposed to 50 players learning a whole new system. So I think a lot of these talks are taking place, and then you have the draft coming up with a couple of weeks. So, you know, I think there's a lot of unprecedented times right now, and I think people in each building are sitting down talking about the long-term effect, the short-term effect, and how it overall matches with our football team.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing situation. We're talking to Coach Cower right now about some free agency stuff. And one of the free agents that I thought picked the right place was Phillip Rivers. Now, you know Phillip Rivers. You went to NC State. He was an NC State guy. You always tell me how great Phillip Rivers is. You're all over him. Like, it's I get it. You know, you're both Wolfpackers. I get the whole thing. I understand it. But he now goes back to kind of reunite with his former coach, Frank Reich, from San Diego days when the Chargers were in San Diego. To me, that makes the most sense because he should be able to acclimate himself to the verbiage of the playbook.
There's no question about that. And I think you're also talking about now, this might be the best offensive line Phillip Rivers has ever had in his entire football career, even when he was with the Chargers in San Diego and with L.A. So you're talking about a group of weapons around him that may be as good as he's ever had. So I think that's an excellent fit. You were talking about this during the season. I know you're very good friends with Frank Reich. And, you know, how those things play out, you just never know. But I just think when you look at those two fits, Bruce Arians with Brady, Phillip Rivers with Frank, those are really good fits because these are veteran players that have now gone with veteran coaches. And I know Frank has not been there 2 or 3 years, but Frank's been in the league for a long period of time. And I think that's a great fit. And I think from Tom Brady's standpoint, I think BA will make sure that he monitors the amount of hits that he takes. And he'll make sure that he'll incorporate some of the things that Tom's comfortable with. But boy, I tell you, Tom, for the first time, he's got some outside weapons and Godfrey and Evans. I mean, he's got some weapons he hadn't had in the last few years.
Yeah, I think both quarterbacks are going to have really good years. The problem is for Phillip Rivers, he's in the division or in the conference that has Patrick Mahomes, who still has yet to play a bad game in his entire pro career in the 3 years that he's been in the league. That brings me to Andy Reid and what the Kansas City Chiefs have done here this offseason. They're basically bringing back all of the players that Patrick Mahomes has been throwing the ball to over the last 2 years, which is amazing to me when you think about, you know, how much money they have spent. And we see how all these players do not want to leave. They're willing to restructure their contract because they know there's going to be a huge contract coming down the pipe here for Patrick Mahomes. But I would think because of what they're doing, the continuity of what they're doing, that we're going to see another just spectacular year from Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I totally agree with you. He has not been unspectacular on any time he's been in the National Football League. He's been a phenomenal player. When he's on the field, he's dynamic. He makes plays in the fourth quarter. He's done everything you've asked a quarterback to do. And consequently, like you said, there's a window of time Andy has right now before at some point you're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes, and that's going to have a trickle-down effect to some degree. So until that time, you have a little bit of a window of time right now. And I think, like you say, it's a great place to play. You got a coach that understands the National Football League. He's been there forever. It's an offensive mind, and Steve Spagnuolo has been a very good addition for him on the defensive side of the ball. They kept getting better as the year went on, and having said that, you know, you like to think they would pick up where they left off next year. So, but you know, again, there's that, you know, the unknown that always happens, an injury or two, offensive line, receiver, whatever it may be. There's always every year is a new set of challenges, but certainly they look very well tooled going into next year. The Kansas City Chiefs do. Boom. You're right.
Talking to Coach Bill Cower, my compadre on the NFL Today on Sundays on CBS. And Coach, I have to ask you about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger in particular. What are you hearing? What do you expect? And do you think he'll be 100% by the time the season starts, assuming we do have a season?
I think he'll be 100%. I think he's thrown the ball now. I think he'll take it very slowly. I think the year off, in some degrees, you know, it will add a year to his career. You know, we all know when Tom Brady got that knee injury a few years ago, he got a whole year to sit off. And there's a lot to be said for that sometimes. You know, the Iron Man effect of it does take its toll over a period of time. But the other element of it is when you, if you do have an injury, you're forced to miss a whole year, your body has a chance to rest up. And I think that, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers will come back. You know, the receivers are going to be a little bit older, more mature. It's the same system. There's a lot to be said for continuity right now, particularly going into this season, given the circumstances we're dealing with the coronavirus and the limitations you may have in practice sessions and OTAs. And so I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers will be fine. And their defense is, they got Bud Dupree under the franchise tag. I think the defense will be just as strong as it's ever been, maybe stronger because another year together. And I think offensively, they can get so maybe a runner in this draft and another receiver. They went out and got Eric Ebron. Hopefully he can get back to his productive ways of 2 years ago from when he was with the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck. And so I think there's a lot to be said for that. It's a tough conference again. You know, the Baltimore Ravens have retooled to some degree. And so it's a very tough division, but I think Pittsburgh will be right there in the thick of things.
Coach Bill Cowher joining us for a few more minutes. And Coach, let me ask you about, and this is what I've been talking about the last 3 weeks here in New York, about a potential backup for Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Now, I'm not sure if you like Mason Rudolph or not. I'm not sure if they like Mason Rudolph or not. They still have a lot of stuff going on out there between them and the Cleveland Browns and Myles Garrett and all that nonsense. I thought that, and I still think that, Jameis Winston would be the perfect guy to go behind Ben Roethlisberger, who's going to be 38 years old this year. He's a legitimate starter in this league. There's no question about that. But maybe for a guy like Jameis to sit behind a guy like Ben and watch how he prepares, watch how he plays, could have a profound effect on Jameis. Do you think that is a good fit for the Steelers?
I think it would be a great fit, only from the standpoint that I kind of sense where Pittsburgh is going with this football team. It's been a team whose identity has been on the offensive side of the ball with the Killer Bees, with Ben and Bell and Brown. And now I think what you saw a little bit of transformation last year was getting back to the way it used to be with a very defensive-minded football team. I know they're
and a boring and a boring offense because they had a boring coach.
You know what, though? I think Jameis Winston could be a good fit if he's willing. He's willing, boom, to accept that 1 year sitting behind Ben, and maybe Ben's 2 years. So I just think that that would be the biggest obstacle to overcome is for Jameis to sit there and not think he has a chance to compete for a job and to take a minimal salary, because that's basically what he's going to have to take to go to Pittsburgh. That's going to be contingent on him playing. So I just don't know if that fit will happen right now just because of the timing of it. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see where Jameis lands. You know, he's a guy that's been feast or famine. He's made a lot of, you know, question the judgments he makes at times, the throws that he makes. But, you know, a whole new setting and a chance to kind of just reinvent himself would be a good thing for him. It's going to have to be in the right place.
You know, normally you and I would fight about, you know, firing coaches in the middle of the season and whether you should do that or not and all this other stuff. Well, I think it worked out for Ron Rivera. You know, he ends up going to the Washington Redskins. The day that he was let go was the next weekend. If you remember, I came in and said, that's it for Cam Newton in Carolina. He's done. He's done because I think Ron Rivera understood Cam and loved Cam, and Cam played his best football for Ron. And you, I guess, have a loyalty to that. And then, of course, with Cam and the injuries and the foot injury and all that other stuff, and then them going out and hiring a, you know, essentially a college coach to come in there, that college coach is not going to want to deal with the leftovers from the previous regime. So I'm not surprised that Cam Newton was cut by the Carolina Panthers. The question for me, I guess, to you would be, if you were a coach of a team, would you try to get Cam Newton to become your quarterback? And do you think anybody out there is going to be aggressive to try to sign him after the draft in a few weeks?
Well, I think the number one question you have to ask is, where is his health? You know, how healthy is he? You know, can I get a medical on him that's going to clear him, that's going to tell me that he's able to participate, that's going to tell me he's not going to have limitations? Because, listen, we all know part of Cam Newton's dynamic is his ability to be a runner. You know, his ability to stand in the pocket and to make plays of improvisation and, you know, be able to do the things that are unscripted. And if he's not healthy enough, if the foot is still hurting, if the shoulder is not a healthy shoulder, these are the things that you'd almost have to ask yourself and make sure you get a medical clearance on before you could even think about bringing him in. But I will just say this, if there's ever a guy that would have a chip on his shoulder with something to prove, I think right now it would be Cam Newton. But again, it would have to be with the understanding that he is healthy, that he can't participate, you know, and you better be able able to have a contingency plan if he's not the guy. So a lot of factors, a lot of moving parts in regards to camp, but certainly that'd be something I would be looking into, and I'd be a little bit intrigued if I don't have stability at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I would think the L.A. Chargers would make a good spot, but this is prior to the draft. That they draft a kid high in the draft, whether it be Justin Herbert or whether it be Tua or anybody else that they may like, I think that would be a unique dynamic, a unique personality conflict where one guy's trying to restart his career and another guy's trying to get off to a good start. And that might not be the quarterback room you want. So I think we're probably going to have to wait and see where he lands after the draft. Now, let's get to the draft for a second. And we know what's happening with the coronavirus and how it's impacting all of sports. Roger Goodell has decided that he's going to go on with the draft. He went on with free agency. Those of us in the sports world love the fact that he was able to do the free agency aspect because it gave us something to talk about, gave us something to distract us from COVID-19 and everything else. He has now decided to go with the draft. Some people are not happy about that. Mickey Loomis, the general manager from New Orleans, basically came out and said, you know, they should move the draft and all of this other stuff. But as of right now, and I know that they are on a conference call, all the commissioners are on a conference call with President Trump today. So I don't know what will come out of that. I'm assuming that the president is probably trying to tell them, look, we need you guys back when it's safe and we can get you back, because that will help us return America back to normal. And I think that's what Roger Goodell is trying to do here with the draft. Do you agree staying with the draft right now? And if you do, how do you have to now adjust the way you think if you are a head coach, general manager, and owner in this regard?
Well, you know, I've talked to a few people around the league that are getting ready for the draft, and I think the consensus is pretty much that everyone is wondering why we can't just do this 1 month later when we have more information, maybe have a little bit more flexibility, because the biggest thing right now, Boom, is medicals. I mean, I think the biggest thing is being able to get right information medically on a lot of these players, to be able to go and do some of the research and be able to talk to some of the people. I know you can talk to people, over the phone, but even the players themselves, you know, to see where they are physically, particularly in the spring as they prepare right now. So the medical part of that is huge. But I think the people that are preparing for this, because the one thing is, they're all under the same umbrella. Everyone's under the same scenario. So there's two things I think you have to, there's a couple of things that you have to think about in this draft that you've never had to think about before. And I said, you know, I'd almost, if I was running the draft, I would have an impact grade and a developmental grade. Because what you're going to have as an impact grade is, you're going to have players that can come in there and they can impact your team based on limited exposure to your system, based on limited OTAs, based on limited practice. That's what you're dealing with probably moving forward. It's not going to be the same offseason. And then you're going to have developmental players, players that you know that's going to take some time to understand the speed of the game at the next level, to understand the systems, to understand techniques, just because it's a very natural thing. Well, who are those players? Well, I would say the impact players are the receivers, are the skilled players who can come in there. They learn a couple routes. They learn a couple running plays and let their skills take over, whether it's a defensive back, a pass rusher. Those players now become more important. They're going to contribute to your team a lot more than developmental, which takes me back to who's the most developmental player that's in the draft? The quarterback. The quarterback is the most developmental. So right now, you know, you sit there and look at John Kitna. I wouldn't trade John Kitna at all for Cincinnati Bengals. Your quarterback that comes in, it's going to have limited exposure.
You mean Andy Dalton? System. You mean Andy Dalton? Dalton.
Andy Dalton, I would keep him. He got Fitzpatrick down in Miami. You got to have veteran quarterbacks right now. If you're going to go with a veteran quarterback or a young quarterback, he is going to have limited access to your system, limited reps, and you're going to be questioned how quickly he can actually make it to the field. The same thing with offense and defensive linemen, unless they are pure pass rushers. So you're going to have different approaches to this draft, I think, than you've had in the past just because of the scenario and the landscape that exists.
Okay, last question, 30 seconds or less if you can do this. Joe Judge, new head coach of the New York Giants, how far behind is he because of what we are dealing with now?
Any new coach is going to be far behind, and like I said earlier in the day in this interview, I would seriously consider keeping the language the same from the previous year. Let the new coaches learn it. You can still do what you want to do philosophically. You just may have to learn it in a different language, because right now the learning curve is going to be shortened. You're going to have a learning period that's shortened than any other season you've ever had before. And right now, the best thing you can do for players is to pick up where you left off from last year, apply your philosophy, but let the coaches learn the new system. They are definitely behind the eight ball.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking your time out on a Saturday afternoon, and wish you the very best. Give V my love and tell everybody I said hello, all right?
Thanks, Boom. You stay safe out there and tell Gio I said hi.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.